Egypt. And then God gave Moses a word for them that they were going to be wandering in the desert for 40 years. And none of the adults were going to go into the land. And so now here's Joshua, kind of elderly. He's one of the, Joshua and Caleb got to go in. And into the land flowing with milk and honey across the Jordan. There was a big city, Jericho, a walled city. And So God tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage. For to this people you should divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. I don't feel very strong. Anybody ever kind of like that? God says, be strong. I was like, I don't feel very strong. And Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the power of his might. So it's not whether we feel strong or not. He's got might, and we can feel strong in that power, right? We can be very weak and feel strong because he's with us. Joshua 1:9 says, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that Jesus' name? Emmanuel? God with us? He is with us. And dismayed means broken down or shattered, as in defeated. Anyone ever feel dismayed? Defeated? Shattered? Dismayed. And the battle's real. The battle's real. But don't be dismayed. Don't be shattered. For God is with you. And it's good to be broken of ourselves and our natural strength, right? But not in the inner man, not in the strength of God, not in his might. This was Paul's prayer, that they be strengthened through his spirit in the inner man. And so do not be dismayed. Don't be broken down or shattered. Joshua 1:11. Within 3 days, you'll cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. What can we do? This was a battle that they were going into. We have spiritual battles, right? We battle not against flesh and blood, but against demons, right? So what can we do to win the battle? What do we have, or what can we gain spiritually unless the Lord gives it to us, right? If the Lord gives it to us, then it's ours. But apart from Christ, you can do nothing. We can do nothing without him. He fights for us. And on the flip side, when we're trusting in him and he's made us a promise, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? But apart from him, we can do nothing. Joshua 2:1, Joshua sent out two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. Now Moses sent out 12 men, and it was at God's command. God told him to do it. And he told him to pick a leader from each tribe. So the 12 men that Moses sent out were leaders. And the other 10 turned against Moses and against God. So Joshua handpicked two guys that believed in God. And it doesn't even say what tribe they were from. It doesn't say whether they were leaders or not. He picked them to go spy out the land. And then Rahab, this is a whole message in and of itself. I'm not going to go into it too deep. But the spies get to Jericho, and they stay at the prostitute Rahab's house, who hid them. And like I say, that's the whole message. She had faith and hid them. And they told her to. She put out a scarlet cord, That represents the blood of Christ. And during the destruction, her house was passed over. Just like during the Passover and the angel of death, the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the angel passed over. That represented Christ, right? And Joshua 6, 15 to 19 came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early. Remember the message we had recently about the seven with the rainbow and God's perfect number? He created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. And we were talking about it's the year of Jubilee. It was seven sevens, 49 years, seven sevens, and then came the year of Jubilee. It was like perfection. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early. About the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent." And Joshua warned them. Verse 18, "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it." Keep that in mind. He warned them not to take the stuff, because you're going to trouble it. You're going to trouble the camp of Israel. "But all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So number one, Jericho, the city, is doomed to destruction and everything in it. This is what the message Joshua gave them. Abstain from the stuff, their accursed stuff. All the booty, gold, silver, bronze, iron, is consecrated to the Lord. It comes to the Lord's treasury. Their first victory, their very first victory on this side of the Jordan. What a test. It was a test to get the victory by faith, but when they get it, they can't keep any of the stuff. Like, what a test. This giant victory, and they can't keep the stuff. And Joshua warned them, verse 18, "If you take the accursed stuff, you will be cursed and you will trouble the camp of Israel." So it was the seventh day, it was Sabbath. They marched seven times. And who took this great city? The Israelites, but who took this great city? God took this great city this day. And what did the people do? Now, what did they really do? They had faith. Because how stupid is that to wear yourself out marching around the city for 7 days and then march seven times around the city? Like, I'm not going to listen to that. I mean, can you imagine? Like, if somebody said, God said to do this, exert all your energy on this, which has no bearing on the battle, logically, right? But it's trusting God. It's trusting God. But we trust him. Marching around Jericho, they didn't have to fight. And this was the point, actually. They didn't have to fight. They had to trust, and God did the fighting. You know that song, "So When I Fight, I'll Fight on My Knees"? So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we rest in his victory. And we see the cross. This is part of the song. We see the cross. You see the empty tomb. Like, we're looking and we're like, there's a cross. I don't want to go there. And he's looking at where he's telling us to go. And there's a resurrection. There's a victory. There's an empty tomb. And if you want to be my disciple, have faith like that. Right? And so the stuff was the first fruits of what was to come. It was the Lord's. And we give our first fruit to the Lord. We're free. We don't have to, but we do. And Jesus Christ is the first fruit from the dead. And we follow. We go to the cross and experience the resurrection. So Jericho's conquered, and what a victory. And this is, we're coming up to the story that I've been meditating on that I kind of wanted to preach on, but it's so short, I put all this in the background to bring you up to it, right? And it's the story of Achan. And it's, I used to pronounce this AI, but I don't want people to get confused. The battle is against AI. We'll just call it I, okay? We'll call it I. It's the story of Achan, not the story of AI. So, Joshua 7:2. The spies went to Ai. It's hard for me to say that. I've been saying AI for so long. The spies went to Ai. Some people do pronounce it that way. 7:3, spies returned and they said, only send about 2,000 to 3,000 soldiers up. It's a piece of cake. It's not very well fortified. Those people don't look that strong. Just send a small group up there. So they were being presumptuous. They took it for granted, right? But that's not part of the story I want to focus on. And Joshua said, alas, Lord. So they got whooped. They got whooped really bad. And this 2,000 to 3,000 fled from this small town, which was probably much smaller than them. And some of them died. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Well, who does that sound like? That sounds like the Israelites in the wilderness. Well, we should have just stayed in Egypt, right? I mean, that's he seems kind of dismayed, honestly. And God told him not to be dismayed. And anybody ever felt like that? Here's a believer, a great man of faith, Joshua, that felt like that. Like, what's the point? I should have stayed back there. And I walked by faith and went to war and got whooped. And I had faith, right? He was trusting God. It's called a cross. We go into death and we have to trust him even more. Joshua had to trust God even more, right? And so he's dismayed, he's shattered. After this huge victory at Jericho, And what is God's response to his attitude? God's like, get up. What are you doing? Get up. This is God's response. Oh, that's their Joshua's response. This is God's response. Why do you lie thus on your face? So there's sin in the camp, and God showed Joshua who it was. It was Achan. He had taken some stuff from Jericho, presumptuous. He wasn't listening to God's word through Joshua. And so this is Joshua 7:20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw, there's the problem right there. When I saw, isn't that Lot saw? You know, like, we're walking by sight, not by faith. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. Now, we don't hear a whole lot about coveted, but that's in the Bible. Like, in the New Testament, listed among a lot of other really egregious sins is coveting. Like, wanting stuff that's not yours. He coveted them and took them. He probably felt entitled too, right? Like, that's kind of like what a lot of people nowadays in this generation, they feel entitled. Why does he feel entitled? Well, he went to battle. They conquered Jericho, right? But we all know God conquered Jericho, and he's entitled to listen to God, because listening to God is what conquered Jericho. And God said, the stuff goes into the treasury. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of the tent with the silver under it. Now, once again, Ephesians 6, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against, you go on, demons, right? And Joshua destroyed him, his family, his livestock, and everything he had. So when we're battling against demons, we need to destroy everything that's related to the sin, right? Just get rid of it. Don't leave a little, don't give place to the devil. And in some sense, this concept of Achan applies to the body of Christ. If I'm a toe and I'm injured, it affects how the whole body walks, right? Anybody ever injure their toe? Did it affect how you walk? Yeah. Anybody ever injure your thumb and try to button your shirt or zip your pants up? You realize you use your thumb a lot. So if we're part of the body of Christ and we get injured, we affect the whole body of Christ. And it's easy to think that our personal life doesn't influence the church. Or it influences only when we plan it to or allow it to. You know? And the church is in a nonstop spiritual battle. And each born-again believer is always connected to the body of Christ. Regardless of what we're thinking or how we're living, we could be spiritual, we could be carnal, we could have faith, we could have doubt. If you're a born-again believer, you're part of the body of Christ and you're connected to the body of Christ. And the success and some battles are like, some battles are like I, where the corporate obedience is tied to the victory. And like the whole congregation that listened to the 10 spies, you know, the corporate, like Joshua and Caleb had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years, but they sure did have a good attitude. I'd be like, man, I hope these guys, I shouldn't say I would be like, I can picture them being like, man, I hope these guys go ahead and drop like flies so we can go in the land. You know, like they did it. They're the reason we're here. But they were together, right? They were together. And, yeah, so the story of Achan's a dramatic example of one person blocking the victory from the entire nation. And all of a sudden, his private life isn't that private after all. Our lifestyles matter not to us, but to others. And it also matters to our family and to our friends. And, you know, it really, we can have a huge impact. So it's good to plan, right? To plan things. I plan to have faith, like, my God, he was, my God, he is, my God, he'll always be, right? I'm going to plan that God will always be my God. I'm going to plan that. It's good to plan, like, good things in your mind. I'm going to walk with God. And yeah, we can be like Peter. I'll never deny you, Lord. You know, like, we could be like that, but what a great heart he had, right? So plan to bless the church with our walk when we're not in church. Romans 5:20. This was a little thing I decided not to. Oh. Yeah, Romans 5:20. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So when a toe is injured, we don't cut it off, right? It gets grace. It gets the Neosporin and the Band-Aid. You know, somebody gets a crutch or for the leg or a brace. And I was thinking too, as a church, we get to see God's grace as Jesus took the beating and the death that each of us deserve. So we give ourselves the cross and we give other people the cross. That's called grace. You know, like the wages of sin is death. And we can see from Achan, he deserved to die because God said, stone him. So we know he deserved to die, right? And every one of us deserves to die. But, you know, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, a gift is grace. God gives us grace. And God gives us the victory. He always causes us to triumph because of his grace. And that's amazing. When one of us falls, the others apply the cross instead of stoning us. Isn't that awesome? You know, if I fall, you give me grace instead of stoning me. Every time I see the wrath of God against sin, it makes me cringe on the one hand. Like, look at, they're stoning this guy for taking this stuff that he helped to secure, right? And he probably needed it. He looked like he needed it in that picture. I don't know what he looked like in real life. But he in his mind, I'm sure he said, I need this stuff, right? He probably needed it. And they're stoning him for that. And it kind of makes me cringe to think that God is very stern and his judgment is very hard and how much he hates sin. And then I think, wow, what Christ took for me. Like he who knew no sin became sin for me. He is the propitiation for us. And this is love. Not that we love him, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sin. That's like taking out the wrath of God that I deserve, stoning, the cross, you name it. I deserve God's wrath on me, and so do you, and giving the cross to it. The wrath goes on Jesus Christ. And so I just think, wow, what Christ did for me. In one sense, I think, wow, God's hard. Sin, he hates sin. In another sense, I think, wow, how much he loves me and how much he loves each of you. He loves each of you so much. He died on the cross. And if I've fallen victim to sin, even a presumptuous sin like Achan's, and we can take care of the root of the sin. How do we do that? We cut it off for sure. But we don't condemn ourselves to death in a way. But another way we do, because we've already died. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. We reckon ourselves dead in Romans 6. We condemn our flesh to death. It's already been condemned to death. And it died at the cross with Jesus Christ. And so we cut it off. We take it to the cross where Jesus was already condemned for death. And then we apply 1 John 1:9. And he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we rebound. How? We receive what Christ did, the grace. It's given from God. And we decide to walk by faith and that he loves us and that our sins paid for. And then we listen. Right? After this sin in the camp, God had a word for Joshua. And deal with the sin. He said, get up. Deal with it. Deal with the sin. Get up. And Joshua dealt with it by death. And we need to nail it to the cross. We need to take it to the cross. Deal with the sin. Give it to God. And we claim the cross. The blood is our victory, right? He always leads us to triumph. And then, second, Joshua 8:2. After we do that, and we're trusting him, and we're listening to him, and you shall do to I and Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, Only its spoil and cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Enter the battle and enjoy the fruit. Like, there's victory. There's victory in the cross. There's victory in doing this. Yeah, amen. Lord, thank you for the cross, because we can't handle our own sin or each other's sin. Thank you for the cross and teaching us grace, Lord. We pray that we can apply this in our lives and in other people's lives, and give grace and receive grace and rebound. Confess our sins and come to you and rebound and walk with you by faith. And we pray for victory in each individual's life in this church and in corporately as a body, a local fellowship. We pray for victory, Lord. Victory, Lord. We thank you. The victory has already been won at the cross. Our sin's been paid for. If you're here today and you've never received what Jesus did at the cross for your sin, you can do that this morning. Just call on the name of the Lord. Just cry out to God. Admit you're a sinner and receive salvation. Receive his grace. Receive the gift of salvation. Just ask him. And it's freely given. And we just pray that we can walk by faith this week, this month, this year, the rest of our lives. You're the God who was, the God who is, and the God who always will be. And we plan to walk with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.